Hey, Brad.
What's going on, Adam?
I got some exciting news.
Holy crap, they're making a Mighty Ducks 4?
No, but now I'm just really upset that they're not.
Oh, they should.
The exciting news is that beginning Wednesday, August 10th, exclusive About Last Night episodes will be airing on TuneIn. That's right, featuring just Brad and Adam, the original OGs. I know you guys love the ALN episodes that feature amazing celebrity guests, actors, musicians, incredible people with amazing stories. But starting Wednesday, August 10th, for 12 weeks, Brad and I will be releasing episodes with just Brad and I.
Cool. I like those guys.
It's going to be great. And where can people get these episodes, Brad?
They can get these exclusive episodes on the website, tunein.com/aboutlastnight. That's TUNEIN.com/aboutlastnight. Or you can download the TuneIn app. Type in TUNEIN and get the TuneIn app to stream these exclusive episodes. Or we also have a player available on aboutlastnightpodcast.com. You can go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com, click on the TuneIn player, and stream the episodes live from there. We can't emphasize this enough. These are exclusive episodes to onlytunein.com. You can't get these anywhere else.
Only available to users of the TuneIn platform. New episodes of Just Brad and Adam doing the About Last Night podcast. No guests, just Brad and Adam.
Oh, well, maybe Al Pacino. He'll come in and have a couple of appearances.
And preview his upcoming episode of The Pacino Attempt.
The Pacino Attempt, coming this fall.
Wait, what was it? You Kiss You.
And Then You Kiss You.
That's every Wednesday starting August 10th on TuneIn. Brad and Adam, exclusive About Last Night podcast episodes. You love it. You want it. And you can get it starting Wednesday, August 10th. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with me, Adam Ray.
And me, Brad Williams.
You went super high with your voice right there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That was very dwarfy of you.
Okay. Agree, disagree.
Greetings, About Last Night podcast listeners. It's your boy, Adam Ray. I got a question for you. Do you guys travel? I'm sure you do. Everybody travels. Well, not everybody. Sometimes people stay in their basement and play Xbox all day. Well, that's fine, but someday you're going to get out, and you're going to get on an airplane. And when you travel, like Brad and I do, almost every weekend, you run into some issues, right? Especially with your luggage. Sticky wheels, dead cell phones. Well, there's a company out there that is solving those problems and much more. We got involved with a luggage company called Away. You probably heard of them because they're kind of blowing up. What they do, they sell first-class luggage at a coach price. What do I mean by that? I mean Away uses high-quality materials, like other brands, but at a much lower price because they cut out the middleman and sell it directly to you. They've got three sizes in their luggage: carry-on, medium, or the large. And all these suitcases are made with premium German polycarbonate materials, which makes them super strength, super durable. They have an interior patent-pending compression system, which is helpful if you like to overpack like I do. Four 360-degree spinner wheels, so it's always a smooth ride. That, for me, is always a big issue with a bag when I get it jammed up when I'm trying to rush from terminal to terminal, trying to get my Quiznos, not miss my flight. They've also got a TSA-approved combination lock built into the top of the bag to prevent theft, and a removable, washable laundry bag that keeps dirty clothes separate from your clean clothes. The biggest thing for me that Away really provides is that it can charge your iPhone, tablet, iPad, anything that uses a USB cord. There's also a lifetime warranty, so if anything breaks, they'll replace it or fix it for you for life. For life, what? There's a 100-day trial, so you can try it out, live with it, vibe with it, travel with it, Instagram it. And if at any point you're not into this bag, send it back for a full refund, no questions asked. That's a bold move, and that means they're confident in their product. And Brad and I have them both, and we've been using them for months, and it's dope. Free shipping on the Away order within the continental U.S. And it's well-priced, $225. And it's well-priced at only $225. A piece of luggage didn't cost more than your plane ticket. Did I mention it has the ability to charge your phone up to five times? What other bag can do that? A lifetime of luggage happiness awaits you. So go to awaytravel.com/ALN and use promo code ALN to get $20 off your order right now. That's awaytravel.com/ALN. Promo code ALN during checkout to get $20 off your order. Get that dope bag. Get that new bag. They're blowing up. Get on that train before they just sell out. And then you can't have a cool bag. You don't want to be that guy. Hey, I want a cool bag. Well, you should have ordered an Away bag, motherfucker. All right, now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Thursday! 2 days away from the weekend. Hope you guys are pumped. I'm pumped because I'm in Seattle right now, baby. That's right. Got a week off from Mad TV. Decided to come home, relax with the fam, go to Ken Griffey Jr.'s retirement game in Seattle. He already had his Cooperstown ceremony, but now he's doing it at Safeco Field in Seattle, and I'm super pumped. I'll probably get emotional. I'm going with a couple buddies. My boys Adam French, Chris DeLeon, and my mom and dad, which will be fun, I think. First, I was like, Mom, Dad, I asked them individually. I go, you guys cool going and hanging? And they were both like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. And I was like, Dad, don't get drunk and, like, propose to Mom again because you're both married. Just don't get overwhelmed with the emotion of us all hanging out, which I said jokingly. And then I was like, what the fuck? Wouldn't that be nuts if that actually happened? That's a hilarious scene in a movie for sure. Some sort of dark comedy with Bill Hader and Glenn Close. Anyway, stoked to be home in Seattle. Haven't been home for quite a while. And, you know, a much needed break. Mad TV has been so fun, so intense, a lot of work. Hope you guys enjoyed the brand new episode on Tuesday with Bobby Lee and Ike Barinholtz guest starring. It was a hilarious episode. I thought it was pretty tight from top to bottom. The flow of the show is just as key as the sketches, you know, and the length of the sketches. And I thought it turned out really well. So hope you guys are watching. All the episodes are available at CWTV.com. And of course, CW 9 p.m. 8 Central Tuesday nights. Got a brand new episode coming up this Tuesday, which I'm really pumped about. And hope you guys tune in. Today's episode is a fun one. Sometimes, you know, we've had some pretty big name people on this show. And it's usually actors, comedians, musicians. But sometimes, you know, we have on people that are just incredibly interesting human beings. And I met our guest today through a friend who was booking a comedy show in Silver Lake. And she was like, I hit her weed pen at some point. And she goes, oh, my friend Matthew, this is his company. And I go, no shit, these are amazing. She goes, I'll bring him to the next show. You guys can chat. He brings me, it was his anniversary, and he comes to meet me before he goes out to celebrate with his girl, and he brings me boxes and cartridges and just a whole setup, and it was brilliantly designed. The packaging, it looked like you opened it like you're opening an iPhone case. I mean, these guys are top-notch. The company is called Bloom Farms. You can get all their stuff at getbloomfarms.com. You know, there's a lot of pens out there. I can't recommend this one enough. You know, it tasted good. They got a lot of different flavors. Doesn't reek, so you know you don't smell like pot wherever you go. It was an easy, nice buzz, nothing too crazy, and they're killing it right now. So getbloomfarms.com is where you can find all the info on that. And the guy who's involved with this company and who I met and then had coffee with to chat about some business ideas, the conversation just grew into him telling me some crazy stories about curing himself when he had a brain tumor, about his ayahuasca trips. So I go, do you want to come on my podcast? He's like, sure. We did it. We locked it in. Brad had his mind blown with some of these ayahuasca trip stories that I had heard previously. I'd heard one of them. But he's just a great dude, a great storyteller, and an inspiring dude because he's been through some shit. And we have had some comics on who've had some insane journeys and have come out of it on top. And Matthew is in that world as well. His name is Matthew Geddes. He's our guest today on the About Last Night podcast. And I'm pumped for you guys to hear his story. Of course, there's a lot of laughs in this one. It's a comedy podcast. We're not going to get all serious and deep on you guys. But the story is intense and hilarious. Brad's questions during the ayahuasca trip portion were hilarious, and I know you're going to enjoy it. So follow Matthew on Twitter at Matthew_Geddes, G-E-D-D-E-S. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. I'm in town all summer, as I said. All my tour dates at AdamRayTV.com, a bunch more local shows. Laugh Factory Improv Comedy Store, and then, of course, Bumbershoot in the fall, September, Labor Day weekend, Seattle. Can't wait for that. All my tour dates, AdamRayTV.com. The fall is filling up quick. So come out and see me. We've got Erie, Pennsylvania, Rochester, New York, Vegas, getting some dates for Seattle, Tempe, Arizona. A lot of good dates. Doing University of Wyoming September 10th with Adam Devine. So all those dates, AdamRayTV.com. BradWilliamsComedy.com for all his tour dates. Brad Williams will be in Buffalo, New York, August 11th through the 13th at Helium Comedy Club. Go see Brad August 11th through the 13th, Buffalo, New York, Helium Comedy Club. HeliumComedyClub.com for tickets. EstoyMerchandise.com for all your ALN merch. ESTOYMerchandise.com. We're having some bumper stickers made up of those. Well, bumper stickers, I guess, just stickers. You can put them on your backpack or your bumper or your body. Maybe get a tattoo. Maybe get an ALN tattoo. No one's gotten one yet. Be the first. If you get an ALN tattoo of Brad and I, I'm not going to say what's going to happen, but Brad and I will make it worth your while. It won't just be merch. Who knows? Maybe we'll fly out here. Maybe we'll come do a show in your living room. But if you get an ALN tattoo, that's big time. Something to think about. StoryMerchandise.com for all that. The ET picture, we got some stickers of those that will be made in the next few weeks. But you got your posters, your mugs, your shirts, your hats. Go get them. Come to the show. Support the show. And while you're supporting the show, go on iTunes right now before the intro ends. Give us a 5-star rating. Click on that 5th star. Comment on the iTunes page. And that helps us climb the charts. So many great guests coming up. Blake Griffin, Bill Bellamy. Holy shit. A few other guests. Brad locked in from Montreal. It's going to be great. So now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's the merch info. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy, Matthew Geddes.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
So you just brought us vape pens. And okay, here's the thing that I don't think enough of our podcast guests do. You came in, busted out the backpack, and said, "I come bearing gifts."
Yes,
and and
compliments of Bloom Farms.
Yes, compliments of Bloom Farms. You're right. This is what more guests need to do, Adam. More guests need to bring us shit.
Raj Sharma brought us chicken curry, but that's because he's Indian.
Yeah,
which is also great.
I'm a fan of chicken curry.
Yeah, not so, knocking the chicken curry. Yeah,
so you brought us. What are these things? Vape pens.
Yeah, those are CO2 subcritical oil pens. They're the cleanest and finest on the market.
Pull that mic closer to you, Matty.
Oh, yeah. Here
we go. All right. Well, now I just got to...
Let me readjust here. Oh, there we go.
We just got to have...
Readjusted.
Dennis Hoff, who runs the Bunny Ranch, come on the podcast and see what kind of gifts he brings us. And then we have a party. And then we got a little bit of everything. I like that.
Yeah, educate Brad, I guess, and...
Because I'm not a weed guy.
All
right. I'm not like...
But you participate.
Oh, if I'm at a party and people are passing around, sure. Hell yes. But I've never like sought out. I've never made a deal. I don't know what the hell. Like, if people are like, oh, do you want sativa or indica? I'm like, are those African-American twins that you're... Do I get to have sex with sativa and indica? Is that because that sounds fun to me? Because they're like, no, it's a type of weed. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know the differences.
Think of sativa as a daytime and indica as a nighttime. It's
okay.
As simple as that. Sativa is a high energetic high.
Okay.
It's more for creativity in the studio. When you want to have energy, clean the house.
Or a comedian.
Comedian
to write stuff.
There you go.
Okay.
Better. And then when you want to dumb down, you hit the indica.
Okay.
You know, it's higher in CBDs. CBDs are what?
CBDs.
Oh, I can get super.
Maddie, this is why you're here, baby. We're going to talk about everything and anything.
Okay. CBD sounds like a stat they give to pitchers. Like, he's got a pretty good CBD rating.
Or the acronym for like a band that rivaled like SWV or Color Me Bad. You hear about the CBDs?
Oh, man, they hot.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Color Me Bad's got I Want to Sex You Up, but
sounds
CBDs.
Sounds like a bad 80s band, right?
Yeah.
The CBDs.
So what are they?
So... Bottom line, CBDs are what actually allows us to receive cannabis. We actually have cannabinoid receptors built into our body. We're actually born with it. Any person who says they have not ingested marijuana in their lifetime is actually a liar, because every single human being on this earth is given Delta-9 THC through their mother's breast milk.
You hear that, Brooke, my six-year-old niece?
That is what that is what sparks the munchies, ladies and gentlemen.
What is?
The THC in the mother's breast milk is what tells a baby, I'm hungry. Without that, they would die. They wouldn't know what hunger is. That's what sparks the first feeling of hunger for a human, is Delta-9 THC in the mother's breast milk.
THC titty milk.
THC titty milk.
I mean,
what the hell?
That sounds like the best rapper name ever. Did you hear that new album from THC titty milk? Oh my God.
Drop it's got, live.
It's got sick beats.
Wait, that is unbelievable.
Yeah. So CBD, we have actual CBD1 receptors in our brain. CBD actually allows a neuro system to communicate. The reason we have bipolar, schizophrenia, Down syndrome is because there's a lot of people that are cannabinoid deficiency. And
these aren't other rappers who battle THC titty milk, are they?
No. These are real deal people. And when you fill those cannabinoid receptors, you're actually giving your body the actual nourishment it needs.
Huh. So, wow.
We're just scratching the surface.
Yeah, we're scratching the surface.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, scratch. Yeah. I'm good.
Anyway, long story short,
I want to know.
The indica knocks you on your ass. It's the nighttime. It's higher in those CBDs.
THC receptors. And so basically, when you smoke weed, you're going back to essentially being a baby when you didn't know that you were supposed to eat, and you didn't know you were supposed to be hungry, and it like triggers something to be like, hey, you should eat now for your survival.
Well, that's hunger. That's the serotonin and dopamine levels and the different – okay. The hunger is an actual side effect, believe it or not, of marijuana, which is the greatest side effect in the world. Hungry, happy, and sleepy.
I mean, that's something like four friends of mine.
Yeah. They've been my friends my whole life, to tell you the truth.
All it needs now is to make you dopey and doc, and then that pretty much sums up everything.
Actually, Snow White was written about cocaine.
What?
Yeah. The seven symptoms of cocaine. Name the dwarves right now.
Okay.
Brad? Okay.
I love how you just turned to me like, well, you obviously know.
Well, if it was named the fucking, all the Maccabees during.
Let's see. Happy.
You get happy.
Yeah, sleepy.
You get sleepy. Get in the fun ones.
Grumpy.
Grumpy.
Bashful.
Sneezy.
Sneezy. Achoo. Yeah. Dopey and Doc. Hey, Doc?
What about horny and feely and touchy?
Oh, you mean those are
the ecstasy?
Yeah, that's the ecstasy dwarves.
Everyone needs a doctor to prescribe, right?
Yeah. That,
wow.
Yeah, that one was not Snow White. That was Snow Molly.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Is that true?
No.
So, holy shit. Wow. All right. So, what would be the seven things for marijuana?
Hungry.
Hungry. Happy.
Confused,
a little quiet. Very creative.
SpongeBob watching.
Get along with the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should preface how we know each other.
Yes.
Which is brief, but I feel like a new friendship has bloomed.
Mm-hmm. No pun intended. No, Bloom Farms.
Dude, you're So you brought in these. All right. Matty Geddes, Matthew.
Matt Geddes. Matthew Geddes. However you want to say it. Matty G. Whatever.
I met you through a mutual friend of ours who's a comedian, Kate.
Katie Kane.
And adorable.
Very.
The best. We were talking about her pre-show. Mm-hmm. She told me, you should do the show of mine, blah, blah, blah. And she was hitting – I walked out of a show, and she was hitting one of your pens. All right? And, which you'll tell us all about. I started this thing, and I go, I have smoked a few of these, pens, and this one, for whatever reason, I was like, this is – different, I don't have to press a button. I'm like, I feel a good buzz, but I'm not like super fucked up. I feel like I can control the amount very easily of what I'm like taking in. The pen is fun to look at. It was handed to me by a very pretty girl. Everything was working in favor for this pen. And then she goes, you got to meet my buddy who this is from. And I was like, hell yeah. So she booked me on the show. You were so kind to come. It was on your anniversary. You came to give me products to basically go like, yo, this is like
this is who
grassroots
I am.
Marketing. This is who I am. Like, get down with it. And in a 3-minute conversation, I was like, I need to know more. I need to talk to you longer. So we met up for coffee. And then just you telling me about your product. And then you were so, I don't know if enchanting is the right word, but goddamn interesting in like 12 minutes at a coffee bean. Then I was like, will you do my podcast? Because the world needs to know everything you're telling me right now.
And by the way, just so you know, there are comedians who are our friends that come to us and have been begging us for some years to do this podcast, and we're like, you're not a good fit. Like, we're just like, it's not working.
Well, I'm incredibly honored. Hi.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah. So the fact
that you had one conversation with Adam, and now it's like, oh, you got, because he called me. He's like, this dude, we're having him on the podcast. So are you going to tell me something that's now I'm going to slip into a DMT coma? And like, I was waiting for this
to come up.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you want to know about the DMT?
Oh, geez. All right. Well, that's a whole other thing.
Well, first I want to know. Where are you from, first of all?
Born and raised here, California, right. Westlake Village.
So you're a Cali boy.
I'm a Cali boy, born and raised.
Now, when people say like the quintessential like Cali, like Brad's from Fullerton, right?
Yeah.
So there's
Orange County. Yeah.
The Cali is very, very much inside of Brad. What about you exudes like Cali? Like, do you think there is like a person who's like a typical?
To tell you the truth, I think what makes California California is it allows you to be who you are. Express yourself as an artist in a sense. There's no real judgment here. Walk down Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Tell me how many people you see either wearing 10-foot platform shoes, dressed as Spider-Man for the hell of it, or
yeah.
Hey, everyone gets along. And that's why I love California.
No judgment.
And that's what makes me California. I'm a lover. I'm an artist. I'm a Buddhist. I don't judge. I can be me and not be judged.
Did you always adhere to that lifestyle? I mean, like high school, middle school, like were you always just like a... Yo, man, Cali's chill. Everyone should just go with the flow and be good to each other.
I've always been that happy guy. Yeah. Just kind of like love everybody. Hey, have a joint. You know, let's all go have fun and party. Well,
so in preschool, you were passing out joints?
No.
I mean, you're like, hey, you thought your mom's titty milk was good. You should try this shit.
Try this joint right here.
Yeah.
This thing right here. I didn't even tell you that.
Maddie, stay on that mic as much as possible.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
You can pull it closer. You can hold it, or like whatever you want to do.
I'm like a bouncing Betty. I'm all over the place. Maybe I should hit the Seneca pen.
Yeah.
By Bloom Farms.
Bloom Farms. I mean, first of all, where does the name come from?
You know, there's an actual farm up north that is Bloom Farms, and that is where we grow our medicine. It is actually grown in an all-organic field with lots of love and sunlight.
And
shit.
And how long has Bloom Farms been there? And how long has it been?
The farm has been around. It's a family farm. It's been around for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Bloom Farms itself has been around for the better of a couple of years. We're really starting to establish ourselves in northern and southern California. Kind of bounce back and forth here, but it's all good.
The company started
in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How many years ago?
2 years ago.
And weed has been a prominent part of your life from the get-go?
Weed has been a huge part of my life. I was actually a test run, as you could say, for ADHD trials for medical marijuana.
This was a stat you told me that really sparked my interest.
Yeah, I was actually patient number 17. Dr. David Bierman up north. It's kind of funny because I walked into my mom. I was 17 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my 18th birthday was about 3 or 4 months around the corner. And I walked into my mom's room. I was like, hey, mom, I've been doing some research. And this Adderall you've been giving me makes me feel like I'm on crack. I can't, you know, the little blue pills?
Yeah.
Adderall? Can't do them, baby.
So they were giving you that because...
I have ADHD.
Yeah.
I cannot sit down for the life of me. I'm an artist.
Which makes for the perfect podcast guest.
That's why I can't keep my mouth against the microphone.
You're doing great so far.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, where was I?
So gave you Adderall.
So I walk into my mom's room. I'm like, you know, I looked online and they're doing marijuana studies for ADHD. And they're saying, you know, it helps kids. And my mom's always been an amazing woman. She's the best woman on earth.
Yeah.
Very open. As you would say, she's holistic. She's on the hippie side of things, if you really want to break it down.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of looked at me like, are you nuts? And I was like, okay, mom, either I'm going to go down when I'm 18 and get this thing, or you can be, I'm going to tell my mom that I want to go get a medical marijuana card, and, you know, you can be part of it. You know, we can do this together.
Yeah.
She's like, all right,
bonding
I'm
going
to take you to the doctor. He's going to say no, but okay, I'll take you anyway. Thank you for actually coming to me. So we drive down to the doctor. We're getting in there. We're in the waiting room, and, you know, Dr. Bierman comes out. We sit in the room. He's asking me a few questions. He's like, so, you know, when you're in school, what do you do? I'm like, I sit down and I draw. All my tests, just draw. No homework. I couldn't sit still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me a few more questions, and 5 minutes later, he goes, okay. Me and my mom are looking at each other. He goes, you'd be great for a trial for ADHD. And my mom goes, you're shitting me. And I looked at her. I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
Sign me up. So she signed me up, got my medical marijuana card right there. My mom's just kind of in shock and all, like, I don't know what to say right now.
Sure.
We get home. I run to my room, whip out my stash because I don't have to hide it anymore. Get out my bong. I'm like, Mom, we're getting high. I sit my mom down, pack her a fat load, and got my mom high. We got stoned for the first time that night together. We bonded amazingly.
Holy shit.
Sorry, Mom, for blowing you up on air. And
how did you bond?
It was kind of like she saw me and I saw, kind of like it took all the stress in a way, and we were able to sit down together. I went out and got a huge thing of Haagen-Dazs ice cream. We sat down and we just fucking laughed for hours. It was great.
Dude, marijuana, everybody.
Marijuana. Yeah, clap for it. This is one of the many beautiful things it's done, but that was like my first real experience on, holy fuck, this plant's pretty incredible. And I don't just mean like, hey man, I like to get high. My GPA went from a 1.9 to a 4.0.
Shut the fuck up.
Really? After ingesting medical marijuana. And I'm not kidding you. That helped you focus? I was the only kid in high school to have a medical marijuana card. You believe it or not, I had kids trying to pull me out of class. Maddie, go to the store for me.
You could have been. That could have been a side world for you.
Could have been, you know, but...
Good thing you didn't.
I was a greedy little bastard. I like my medicine.
Yeah.
So, and I could go to school stoned. How many kids can you say when your teacher asks, Matt, you smell like marijuana? Yes, I do. Are you high? Yes, I am. I'm actually medicated. That's the proper word. It's not high. And I would go into class, blown off my ass. All the kids would be looking at me, just reeking of like the sweetest ganja medical grade weed. Mm-hmm.
They didn't even try to clamp down and be like, look, you can be high, just don't smell like it.
They tried, but then there was no bylaws at that time. It's a really gray area. And my principal even brought me in her office. She's like, okay, I want you out of my system. She's like, what do we have to do to make you graduate? So it was kind of like a
wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty big.
I want you out of my system, and I want some of that stuff you're on in my system. Where do I get it?
Well, because back then it was the Wild West.
Yeah.
And then after that, I fell into running a dispensary back in the days where it was kind of like.
Well, those are back in the days when your dispensary could be shut down at any point.
It wasn't that we were scared about. It was because the people robbing you.
Oh shit!
It was the gangsters, and I'm not kidding you. When I mean gangsters, I mean there were people being shot. Up and down Ventura Boulevard in 2004, 5, 6, and 7, I was in a robbery. I mean, a guy got shot in our club. I mean, it was the Wild West.
Because they just wanted to get to the back and get the whole stash
sell it. There was guys going on the roofs, cutting through the roofs, coming down in through the roof.
Mission Impossible style.
No joke. While people were in the club and they were breaking in through, coming in.
What were you doing in the club?
Well, I was running a place.
Oh,
yeah. I was currently running a place at the time on Ventura and Tampa.
Oh, shit. Wait, real quick. So your principal pulls you in and goes, we got to get you the fuck out of here.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's her game plan?
Her game plan was handing me a stack of work this big. She says, pretty much, go fill it out, you and your mom. You have 2 days to do it. If you fill it all out, you're graduating and you can walk the stage. I was like, okay, sweet, thank you. Went home.
What year was this? You were a senior, though, yeah?
I was a senior, yeah. It was 2000.
So you went home, got high, and did all the work for the rest of the year.
Did all the work for 1 or 2 days and graduated and walked the stage.
Wow. So, like, epic. Yeah, because they wanted you out because they were like, all right, today we have a DARE officer coming in telling you how bad marijuana is, and you're just sitting there.
With the poster child.
Yeah, you're just sitting there in the front row like, I'm hot right now, and you can't do shit.
My grades went up. I'm happy.
That is crazy. So you significantly saw a focus shift.
No. It was a dramatic shift. It truly was.
Like, you literally couldn't... Now, was it that the schoolwork was uninteresting, or that you couldn't even give yourself a chance to be interested because you couldn't look at it?
It's because my brain fires off in multiple directions at one time. I mean, I'm borderline a musician. I'm a music producer. That's like my heart, blood, and soul. So, growing up, I would hear these symphonies going on in my head constantly, and I'm talking full-blown orchestral symphonies, and it's very hard for me to concentrate in school because I would hear them.
There
you go.
See, ADD boy at it again.
Yep.
Dun, ba-da-dun, dun, dun, dun.
Is that one of the symphonies?
Yes. That is. Brought to you live.
Wait, so you would hear full...
Yeah, it was very hard for me. And then my brain would go, oh, hey, that's a cool drawing. And then I look out the window and go, oh, butterfly. And then I'd be like, I'm really hungry right now. I mean, I'm talking... And then I smoke a joint and I'm like, oh, look, work.
Done. Wow.
Done.
Now, what just is it in the brain that matches up with the THC that finally gets you?
That's actually allowing my neurosystem, the CBD1 inhibitors in my brain, so it's allowing my neurosystem to communicate. Because when you have ADHD, that's the misfiring in your brain. That's the, oh, I want to go over here.
Yeah.
Hence why the microphone. Yeah. So the more you smoke and chill, it actually allows your system to communicate and just say, oh, wait, I'm here and I'm present. I'm right now.
Wow. Now, why?
That's why it works the best on ADD kids, because you're aligning their CBD neuroreceptors.
Are they doing, like, you? Your story should, I feel like, should be the poster child for ADHD.
Well, I have a feeling there's more. It's more than just you. Like, there's probably many examples of this.
Oh, right? There's thousands.
Okay, yeah. So it is being implemented.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Not enough, though, in my opinion. I mean, but now we're in 2016. I mean, feel the burn. You know, everyone's medical marijuana. We're up for legalization and all this talk. And it's a different world now.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's jumping ship in New York and the Wall Street to buy in on the cannabis industry right now. Everyone and their mother wants in.
Well, sure, for you. They saw how much money that it was making in Washington and in Colorado in the social experiments.
Mark my words, when marijuana becomes legal, it's going to put every single market to shame when it comes to profit.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be a boom.
It already did in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. $11.1 billion. I think. Yeah. Don't quote me on the numbers, but something around that area of figures in the last year.
Right. And now every other state's like, oh, so I could pay off
a second.
All the debt?
Off our state deficit in 6 months?
You think it's going to
every state except for Texas?
Yeah. Well, for sure.
Well, what's up with Texas?
They're just.
It's Texas.
It's just Texas.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. It's kind of a strange
firm
state.
Stances on
it's,
a lot
it's
of stuff.
Its own universe.
Yeah.
Its own world. I don't talk down. I lived there for a while.
Now, do you know why?
I like mountains.
Because I would think that if these things were found out at a very early time, why was this drug ever illegal? Do you know why marijuana became illegal? Is it just because it's...
I don't want to be that guy to start sparking massive conspiracy. But everyone knows. I mean, just break it down what marijuana really is and does.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding cancer-killing agents now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you find something that kills cancer naturally that actually helps you. Are you going to go get chemo? No. Mm-hmm. Are you going to pay the thousands of dollars for chemo? Or are you going to go get the 7 syringes of RSO oil, which is Rick Sampson oil, and kill your cancer that way?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a way more fun. I mean, would you rather be high or go through chemo? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So do you think like it was just sort of this mind-altering substance that people feared, and then it grew into now we can't really profit off of this? And
no, because you can make hemp out of it. You can make fuel out of it. I mean, the first space shuttle was built out of hemp, the wings. I mean, there's so many things you can do with the plant itself. It would knock out most of the major industry players.
Mm-hmm. So they're just like, we can't let this
grow. We can't let this grow because there's too much profit in it that we can't get our hands on, pretty
much.
Gotcha.
So when you get tested on like that, and it has an immediate effect like that, and you're like, wow, not only did this like change your life, right? I mean,
yeah.
Being able to focus like that, holy shit. Like,
well, marijuana changed my life. I mean, look where I'm at now with
totally.
The company I'm working with.
Totally.
Just everything in general.
And so then once you graduate high school, what is your, I mean... You're, do you understand the...
When I graduated high school, I went straight to Amsterdam.
Wow. That was my next question.
Seriously.
Yeah.
A week later.
Well, because you had to go to
I had to go to the Mecca.
Yeah, because pot changed your life, and now you need to go say thank you.
Yeah.
Eating all the best.
Yeah.
So I went to Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. We'll just fast forward that trip. That was amazing.
Why?
It's just too much. That's a whole nother
podcast.
That Amsterdam trip.
Well, your story.
We
got time.
Yeah, just... Lots of fun things, I guess you could say. No, I just one night I went to a cafe. It was, you know, the guy I went with at the time was a good friend of ours, and he's like, you know what, man, I'm gonna cash in for the night. And I was like, I'm not tired. I'm in Amsterdam right now. I want to go out and see the light. So I go out and, you know, hit the town, and I walk into this little cafe with cool red lights, and I'm in there smoking the joints and feeling good, and I walk up, and this Rasta guy walks up to me and goes, "Here, man, on the house," and he gives me this nice fat cake, and he goes, "Space cake." And I'm like, awesome, space cake, cool, what does that mean? I don't know, I'm eating it.
Yeah.
I throw that whole thing down, and he comes back like 2 minutes later, he's like, "You did not just eat the whole thing." Like, he was really
concerned.
Oh,
that's the last thing you want to hear.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Why?" He goes, "Psilocybin. Do you know what that is?" And I was like, "Oh, mushrooms. Oh, shit." So I'd eaten a mushroom hash and LSD brownie.
And a lot of it.
Yeah, I ate the whole damn thing.
I can't imagine that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Jeez, LSD.
Then what?
Yeah,
LSD mushrooms hash.
I woke up in a town 200 miles away. I'm not kidding you.
What the fuck?
Don't ask me how I got there.
Because you probably don't know.
Couldn't relax.
200 miles away?
Yeah, I had to take like 4 subway trains.
Were you with people?
No, I was by myself. I just traveled.
What if you didn't even take any sort of transportation there. You just
walked.
Well, that, or you just like passed out somewhere and woke up there. Yeah,
At that point,
it is a space cake, for God's sakes.
I took three train hopper. I don't know how the system.
I wish there's footage of like security cam of some of these subways that you transferred
That'd be epic. You see this guy stumbling, just bumping into walls, laying on the ground, swimming in the street.
Holy shit!
Now,
but none of those compared to my DMT ayahuasca journeys out in Brazil.
Okay.
Yep. Next.
Should we?
DMT. That's, yeah. Now, I know just from listening to a little bit of Joe Rogan's podcast, DMT is the chemical in the brain that makes you dream, correct?
Yes. It's located in the pineal gland in the back of your brain. It's a little pea-sized gland located in the back of your brain.
Yep.
And it's actually also released when you're born and when you die. Those are the only two other times besides dreaming is when this chemical is released in your brain.
Right. That's where a lot of people say, like, when you see the light, DMT that's being released in your brain, and now you're starting to hallucinate.
It's technically not. It is a hallucination, but technically it's not, and that's where it gets kind of technical.
It's fuzzy.
It gets a little fuzzy. Mm-hmm. The true DMT where I went, I flew to Brazil. I did what they call ayahuasca. It translates to plant of the dead. It's boiled over 7 days. It's a root that's actually grown in the Brazilian jungle. I actually did it with a shamanic tribe that's been doing this for thousands of years within their tribe. The men, women, children, and pregnant women all do journeys. It's like absolutely nuts.
When did it start? Who started it? How did you find out about it?
So I'm at LA Recording School. This is a long time ago, 2004, 2005. I'm at LA Recording School. I was halfway through. At that time, it was 9 months, and it was 6-7 days a week, go, 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 12 hours a day. It was like survival of the fittest. You either made it or you didn't. So about 6 or 7 months in, I started having a mental breakdown.
Well, the music business, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine
it's
the
hardcore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was young, still getting my mindset and that mentality. And one day I was having a mental breakdown, and my mom called me and says, I just want to let you know. And I'm like, I'm going on a plane, aren't I? And don't ask me why I said that to this day. I just blurted it out. I'm like, I'm going on a plane. She goes, how'd you know that? And I was like, Mom, I'm having a nervous breakdown right now. I need to get the fuck out of here. Get me out. I just need to go somewhere. I need to reconnect. She goes, actually, that's why I was calling you. There's a thing called ayahuasca. I want you to hang up the phone with me and look it up and call me back. So I hung up the phone. I punched an ayahuasca, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, reading all the stories.
What was the first fact and story you saw that you were like, oh, shit, this is something?
It was something on the article that says something along the lines of a spiritual transition that makes like mushrooms look like, you know,
yeah,
like,
and
like
this
a
is
walk
something,
in the park.
Yeah,
like,
and this is something where they tell you like, no, you need to have a shaman with you.
If you don't, you have a very good chance of not coming back, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So I get the phone call, and my mom goes, the deal is you're leaving next week. I didn't have a visa, so we had a shoot down. We shot down to the consulate. Got an expert, you know, expedited on the visa. We're like, okay, if this is meant to be in the universe, it'll happen. We're packing bags. I'm fighting with my mom. I'm like, this isn't happening. You know, the craziness. Mm-hmm. I hop on a plane for a 39-hour trip to Brazil, not knowing what the hell I was getting myself into. So I get to the airport. I'm like, all right, Mom, this is like 6 days later. I'm like, well, later. You know, I love you. I'll see you later, hopefully.
I'll see you when I see you, and I hope I see you when I see you.
Yeah, this was like, and I was going into the Amazon jungle for about 28 days. I mean, so like, this was
What the fuck, dude?
This wasn't like a little like, hey, we're going to, you know, we're going to Texas for 4 days. No, like, I'm going deep Amazon.
What do you pack? Do you pack an iPod? What's on your playlist?
A machete?
Like, do you pack condoms or deodorant? Like, do you just...
I couldn't pack any electronics. There was no electronics there. There was no plugs. I'm in the Amazon jungle in like this little, this gorgeous compound. So I get to the airport, and it was supposed to take me like 6 connecting flights to get to Brazil. And I
fucking Southwest.
bastards. I end up missing a flight layover in Miami. And at this whole time, I still don't grab the concept of ayahuasca. Yeah, I've done mushrooms before. I've dabbled in the fun stuff. You know, we all have.
Sure. But Flintstone chewables.
Yeah, you know, right.
Two at a time.
Mm-hmm. Two or three.
Double-fisted NyQuils.
Yeah. Depends on who you are.
He's looking at me like, amateur.
This guy over here. So at this point, you know, I'm like, I'm in Miami, layover, make my trips, my phone dies, I lose contact out of everybody. I finally get contact with my mom back home while I land in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And she's like, there's going to be another guy who's supposedly on the plane with you. And when you land, just try to find contact with him. And it was like really like, I can only catch like 5 or 6 words from her. So I'm thinking, holy fuck, I'm in the middle of Brazil. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing right now. Land in Brazil. I end up right before we hit the main hopper from São Paulo to the middle of absolutely nowhere. I ran into this guy. I was like, hey, man. He was like, hey. I was like, oh, my God, you're American. You speak English. Hey, how you doing? So, I haven't heard English in about 26, 27 hours at this point. And I was like, how you doing? I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, man, just, going to Brazil for the journeys, man. I was like, oh, cool. So am I, brother. Never really kind of put the two and two together.
Yeah.
So we both go on the plane, fly, and I get out on baggage, and I'm getting my bag, and I see him again. I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? So we're kind of walking and talking. I'm like, all right, man, so I guess I'll see you later. And I look over, and I see a guy holding a sign with my name, and he goes, wait, that's my name. I'm like, wait, that's my name. And I'm like, wait, ayahuasca? He goes, yeah. I was like, okay, I didn't want to sound like I was nuts, but I'm going to do this ayahuasca thing. He goes, so am I. I have no idea. I was like, okay, cool. So it's pitch black at this time. We hop into this taxi, which looks like it's out of a movie. It is a little Mini Cooper that is yellow with the back doors torn off. It's being run on propane. So there's a 50-gallon tank of propane we're sitting on top of. One headlight works.
It's good.
We get in the car together. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. And this guy just takes off like he's fucking Batman. I mean, just... And I'm like, oh, my God. And it's black. Once we get off the airport.
Like back to the airport, future, he's going to flash you into your fucking
once
trip?
Once we get out of the airport, we hit a dirt road, and it's black. And I'm like, where am I? Like, I just see silhouettes of trees, and I hear monkeys. And I'm like, oh, my God, the motherfucking jungle right now. So he's going faster and faster with one headlight and just...
Wallflower style.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm in the back looking, and I'm like... pain, like pointing the gun, like we're on a propane.
What is he thinking at this point?
He's just sitting there like this. Just,
okay, he's scared too, because it would have been really crazy if he was just like, dude, no words. Maddie, chill.
No words. He's just sitting there like, don't. So this goes on for like 35 minutes of just like ungodly fast quickness through the middle of nowhere. We then pull up to, I'm not kidding you, these two wooden big gates, and it's like a miniature Jurassic Park gate. With two,
did you sing the song to yourself? Because I would have. Any gate that remotely looks, even sometimes my parking garage gate looks enough like it. And when I'm fucked up and I get an Uber home and they drop me off in front of it, I go, I'm home, thank God that I didn't drive. Oops, I forgot my Taco Bell. All right, so you get to this gate.
That was fucking epic. You need to hit the studio. You're coming in next
week. Oh, hell yeah, dude. That's what I've been waiting for.
So I hit this gate, and the gate's open, and the taxi driver brings us in, and we step out, and there's candles lit everywhere. There's this massive bonfire in the corner lit. It's like raging. Everyone's in all white robes. I get out.
I hope there's not Kool-Aid.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So I get out, and this guy, Peter, walks up to goes and goes, welcome. And gives me this huge hug, and I'm thinking to myself, fuck, Mom, you just sent me to a cult.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in so, like, oh, my God.
You start having flashes of, like, untrusting.
This other guy, Peter, walks up to me, who's this cool guy. They're all American, the guys who are coming up to me. And they're people from America, from England, from Japan. There was a nuclear physicist there. I mean, people from all around the world traveled. And it was this little group of us, like 10 of us. And Peter comes up to me and goes, hey, Matt, I know you had a lot of trouble getting here. Now, mind you, I haven't slept in 36 hours. I'm jet lagged. I have no fucking clue where I am. He says, go put your stuff away. We're drinking in 15 minutes. I'm like, drinking what? He goes, we're having the ceremony.
Gatorade? Because I'm parched.
Yeah, pretty much. And he goes, you haven't eaten, right? I'm like, no, I'm fucking starving. He goes, good, because you're supposed to fast anyway. So he goes, go upstairs and put on some white and grab whatever you need. We're having our ceremony. I'm like, okay, thinking, this is just a welcome ceremony. Now, mind you, I didn't realize that I'd missed the welcome ceremony yesterday. So this was the jump in fucking Shark Tank time.
So you would have – so it was like hurry up crash course because you –
pretty
had-
much. Like, I had no idea what I was going into.
Now, so, what else do they throw at you other than like, okay, so you haven't fasted. You're about to do it. Were they like, pick out your favorite Hanson song because you're going to perform it at the end of the – like, no, what other weird things?
They say grab a bottle of water, go put on your white comfortable clothes with no shoes, and come back out and sit down.
I would think I'm in a cult for sure, and I've never seen the light of day.
I might not drink the water.
So I go up into the room, and the guy I was on the plane with comes in the room, and we end up being like –
bunkmates.
Boom. Yeah. Like, what are the odds? So, like, universe is already working. It's crazy. Ooh, it gets crazy. So I'm looking at him. I'm like,
crazy.
So I'm looking. Yeah.
Your mom calls you up to send you on a ayahuasca trip, and now you're at a cultish type
compound and it's about to get crazy.
Batman's your chauffeur to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. It's
so
epic.
How were the robes and the comfy?
So it wasn't even the robe. I had these like karate style white pants on. Just a nice white shirt.
Okay.
And I grabbed like my little Buddha beads that I have, you know, because I'm Buddhist. You know, I like to rock the Buddhism. So I look at him. I'm like, dude, have you ever done this before? He goes, no, you know, but, you know, I've read about it. And, you know, these guys, and my mom had known this guy, Peter, for a while now. That's how she ended up knowing about it. So
okay.
I did have some trust there. It was just really awkward. Mm-hmm. So
you're dying for some sort of trust and some sort of familiarity, right?
For something to grab onto, but there's nothing to grab onto. It's just complete, like, okay, this is going to be your death and rebirth. And literally, that's what it was. I died when I was there and came. Anyway, so I go down, we walk down the path, and it's a beautiful compound. It's surrounded by a wooden gate, okay? It's probably two football fields if you were to put them in a circular form.
Okay.
There's big wooden gates, so, you know, any kind of Brazilian mountain lion or jaguar or whatever, God knows what is, anacondas in the, you name it, it's out there.
Yeah.
So it's this beautiful compound, and everyone sleeps in these rooms lit by candlelight. There's no real natural light there because natural light, when you're on the ayahuasca, is like blinding. And even if you talk like this loud, you're holding your ears telling people to shut up. You're audible, you're visual, everything is enhanced. You do literally become Superman. You can literally listen to a fly like a mile away and hear like it sounds like it's in your ear, but it's not. You can like focus in on things, and anyway, that's just one of the cool things.
Wow, that's so, you get superpowers. Is basically what you're saying.
What it's doing is, I'll get to the point. But what ayahuasca is doing is it's allowing you to see the world with the brain of a newborn baby. So take away every kind of programming. And okay, I'm jumping ahead. Hold on. So I run down. We walk down to the ceremony, and we sit down. And there's the shaman Baronet, who's probably the most incredible man you'll ever meet in your life. This guy just sitting down, you just want to be like,
what's his name?
Baronet,
of the Baronet Kid Ladies.
Well, that was good.
All right, come on, man. You're talking to a '90s band. Come on, Wikipedia man. Page. All right.
So Warren A is his real name, but Baron A is his shaman name because his power animal is a bear. And I will tell you why his power animal is a bear. It is absolutely astounding.
I hope he got it from a gay club in San Francisco.
No. You would think though, right?
Yeah. I would be like, oh, you're a bear.
Baron A.
You're a bear. I'm a twink. All right, let's do this thing.
You're not a cub?
No, I'm a twink. Right. Come on. Hardcore.
So I sit down, and he starts talking, and he has a translator. Her name is Sarah Nusta. and they start talking, and he starts talking about what ayahuasca is, and he says, this is the sacred liquid that unlocks the key. It's the key to the universe. He was telling stories how the shamanic tribes used to do, the shamans would actually drink ayahuasca and have the power to kill anybody anywhere in the world on ayahuasca, because you can literally throw a poison dart while you're on the ayahuasca and envision it and literally kill that person anywhere on the planet Earth. This is why it's mostly illegal in all places in the world, except for Peru and Brazil and some other places. You have
Burbank.
Burbank, yeah, Glendale. Yeah. Whoa. That's a whole nother podcast. Okay. But you have the power to do anything. It is literally opening 100% accessibility to your brain. It's what the universe is. There's so much programming that goes on in this world on a constant basis. You're so fucking blinded. Excuse the French. I called it being plugged into the Matrix. Mm-hmm. And I was unplugged. And now I'm still unplugged.
Well, you were literally unplugged because of your, you know, no phone, no anything, but you were in the elements.
Communication to the outside world.
So what you're saying is that, like, the amount of programming is the amount of information and commercialization, and we're absorbing and consuming so much that we have very little of our brain to think for itself or to really see clearly, because
like example, you know, do you think people can walk through walls?
No.
Okay, because you were told that. Your brain was programmed. So the only reason you think the way things are is because another human who was programmed by another human who was programmed by another human who was programmed by another human has taught that human that that's what that's supposed to be. Ayahuasca strips that.
Can you walk through walls on ayahuasca?
You can. It's not necessarily that you walk through. You can go to different planes of existence. Now, I took my first drink. Now, after he explained the whole thing, you walk up to him and you sit down, and pretty much like I'm sitting, and he'll sit right here next to you to the left of you, and he looks at you for a second, and he pours in a coconut. It's half a coconut shell, and he pours the brew, and this is the nastiest tasting stuff you have ever, hands down, had in your entire life. It is like death going down your throat.
So like worse than like expired hamburger helper.
Yeah, worse.
I mean, I
don't there goes go, that sponsor.
Yeah. And
but you drink it.
I drink it. And, well, first off, the shaman pours, and he pours me a brimmer. And, I mean, it's to the top. Now, he knows how much you're supposed to have. He knows he can read your spirit. And he says, you know, you're either going to throw up or you're going to, you know, it's going to come out the other way, either and or you're going to start purging. Because ayahuasca is also an insane healing property. It heals from the inside out. I mean, God, there's so many stories.
Like if you have like a, I don't know.
There was a blind guy there who was blind in one eye, and when he left, he could see in both eyes.
No way.
I swear to God. I'm not kidding you.
He wasn't faking the blind one eye thing?
No. It was frosty.
He didn't just come with an eye patch and then just take it off better.
No, it was frosty.
What?
Like his eyes like completely clouded over, and by the time he was left, half the clouding was almost gone, and we were going like this, and he could see blurry numbers.
Holy shit.
I'm not talking 20/20 eagle eye vision.
No.
But,
you can't, but hey, beggars can't be choosers.
It began to start seeing silhouettes and blurriness out of his blind eye after the 9 journeys that he did, because that's why he went there. I went there to get over certain personal things and to connect with music on a level that's so deep that only the universe can show you. Now, when you drink this ayahuasca, they say you're going to feel a fire in your belly.
Mm-hmm. I want to know real quick, when you said the guy read your spirit, what does he do to read your spirit? Because if Brad said that to a girl, she might call the cops.
Yeah.
But depending on if he like was petting her hand and buying her a drink.
He's done ayahuasca so much, he can just look at you and see who and what you are.
I'm scared to take this stuff because I feel I might take it and then I might grow 2 feet.
Yeah,
like well, there goes the whole dwarfism thing. What? Fuck! I gotta write a new act now. Son of a bitch!
That's out the door.
my identity is gone.
The problem is
I was programmed to say that I was only gonna be a midget for my entire life.
There you go.
Some human who was told by another human who was told by another human said you have achondroplastic dwarfism and you're not gonna do and you're never gonna be able to dunk on a 10-foot hoop. But then I take the ayahuasca and then it's like fuck you, I'm turning this thing into a Fisher Price and then boom, that's what's gonna happen, right?
Pretty much.
All right, let's do it.
Wow. So you okay? So you said it was you drink it. It starts curing the insides, or it can.
It's like a fire. No, it does. You don't really have a choice. I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I can't tell you what's happening inside your body. But I know when it does happen, it feels like someone took a lit match and put it into your belly button, and the fire grows up the back of your spine. And he tells you all your fears manifest to true reality on ayahuasca. That's one thing that always happens to everybody. Your demons and your fears become physical reality and you have to face them.
So I would have to face a really big dog.
Yes.
Okay. I'm
talking a really big fucking dog.
Like I'm talking a pug. Like just a really big dog.
I'm not lying to you.
Yeah.
When I started tripping, a snake came out of my mouth, turned around, swallowed me whole, and I was sitting in hell with every one of my demons with a face on me. And Berenay said, if you choose to battle your demons in your ayahuasca journey, be careful, because if you lose in your journey, you die in real life. And he was not fucking kidding.
Wait, isn't that like a...
There's a movie called Blueberry. They made a movie about it.
Like, if you die in your sleep, you die in real life. Like, what is it?
That's Freddy Krueger.
Oh.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger. Yeah, like, you get killed in the dream.
I thought that was Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
But this is like really serious. I mean, there's been stories of people who've taken DMT by themselves in their living room, and you leave your body. Like, you can literally, like, on one of my journeys, I literally woke up at, like, I pulled myself out of my body, and I'm still as conscious as I'm talking to you right now, and I pulled myself out of my physical body, and I was looking at it, and I was like...
This
is kind of crazy. And I just started running, and I went to like every different kind of plane. There's different planes of existence, and I went and met the alternate me in a different universe that told it's different journeys. So you have to be careful because every journey and it begins right where it ended. So and they're 15 to 16 hours long, by the way. So when you drink this shit, you're gone for 15 hours.
Oh,
you start
God.
At 7 and you're gone till the next day. Until sun comes up.
See,
just about.
I might. Can't you? Dad was like a 45-minute like pre-workout like program where you can like go. Sip and
so after my
look at my body for a couple like assess. Be like, all right, man, the calves need some work, and then I'll take a couple more sips and
no. It's drink and just chug it down. just go for it.
Wow.
And
16 hours.
Yeah. And my last journey,
man, I get
you know,
bored watching 60 minutes.
Well,
we'll edit that out.
Well, the crazy part about it is it's all the fears in your mind that mm-hmm. you think you had that manifest into reality.
So literally you're having, if someone says they're afraid of heights, are they going to be up on a wire on the World Trade Center?
You might have a journey that relates to something where heights, yes. You mm-hmm. might shoot up into the sky and be looking down at yourself, but you won't be scared, or you may be scared in that journey. Some are internal, some are external. My Uncle Barry, he died in the Vietnam War in the Marine Corps, and he came out of the jungle, sat down with me, and told me everything was going to be okay. You know, and, you know, my mom actually went after I went and did the ayahuasca about 2 months later. And he came to her as well and wrote, like, I love you in the sky, and big old letters. I mean, huge cloud letters. It's like there's so many different journeys and, like, things that happen on these journeys. It's like it's so hard to get in depth and really, like.
Well, but yeah. Also, I mean, it seems like it'd be hard to.
Explain.
Yes, because you're so, like, you're not. I've done mushrooms twice, and both times I was coherent. I'm not trying to say, like, I kind of know what you're talking about. You know, I talked to a daddy long legs, but, like, I felt coherent. Even the come down, you did definitely feel a difference, but I don't, like, how much when you're going through it are you aware of what's.
That's the beauty of it. It's all around this big bonfire. And Warrenet, Baronet, Serenusta, Margarita, and his little six-year-old daughter, who takes two teaspoons of ayahuasca with you.
What?
Sit around the fire.
Wait.
Yeah.
No, how old is she?
She's six.
And now, is she always six?
Now, they have never had one abortion, one cancer, one sickness in their village in thousands of years, and they've all been doing the ayahuasca. So their village has no relation of sickness, period. The people live to be like 105, 110 years old in this village.
But how do they look?
Do they look like
82?
No, they look like they're 40 going on 100. It's the freakiest thing in the world. His wife was like 60 and she looked like she's a 28-year-old. It's amazing stuff. Like, you have to go. There's people, you know, you can smoke DMT, you can do all these different things, and people are like, yeah, I've done DMT. I'm like, well, did you smoke it? And they're like, yeah. That's like a 45-minute kind of like a little that's your preview.
Yeah.
You want a preview? Take a little toki of the DMT. I don't recommend it.
No.
At all.
Well, if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to step out of my body, I'm going to step out of my body.
If you're going to do it right. Jeez. And in my last journey, I drank about 6 or 7 cups on my last journey because I wanted to go as deep down far the rabbit hole. And every time you drink a cup extra, you can go back and drink more if you're not tripping hard enough. And you can keep going down the rabbit hole. You can choose to drink more.
How do you know if you're not tripping hard enough?
Oh, no,
you're like,
know.
That tree's not talking to me.
No, see, I fucked up on my eighth journey. I asked the ayahuasca to show me the pain of the world, and it literally almost killed me. I went through every emotion, feeling of every human, woman, child, person would have felt to lose.
Well, you must have watched an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, pretty much.
wait.
But no.
How do you go through every emotion in how long?
In 15 hours, I was crawling on the ground, crying. I got shot, stabbed. You name it.
From what?
The feeling, the emotion of going through my body, went through every physical emotion, and the shamans were over me, and I was going through seizures. I was palpitating. I was on the ground throwing up. I was sweating.
And you thought
I was on my hands and knees. I was gone. I was literally saying goodbye to my family in my head. That was it. I knew for a fact I was fucking gone.
Now. Okay.
What? And part of me did leave and died and came back, and that was my birth and re-death of me. That was actually supposed to happen, and Baronet told me that was part of my journey. Like, I exited the planet Earth for a while.
So they're watching you freak out, and they're like, cool, he's going through it. Like, and they're not worried for you.
No, they are, sometimes. If they're all over you and
fanning you. It seems like they could do more than just fan you if you're seizuring and dying.
It's not seizuring and dying. It's going through the different
emotions.
See, you only think it's seizuring because that's what you're.
That's what you said, and that's all I chose to hear.
The programming. Yeah. No, yeah. It's all the program. Like, trees don't look like trees on ayahuasca. Everything's zeros and ones too.
Yeah.
It's all numbers. It's all broken down. Like, you can feel the trees breathing. Like, literally, you can feel the life of things. It's like,
I want that.
Like Baronet, and you can watch Baronet, and the reason I call him Baronet is because his power animal is a bear. Now, when you're on the ayahuasca, you can literally physically see the bear walking over to each person, and he's taking the demons, and he puts them in his mouth, chews them, and spits them on the fire, and the fire goes,
holy
and it's the
shit.
Dopest fucking thing you've ever seen in your life. And also, the cigarettes, nicotine is a sister plant to the ayahuasca. So you're constantly rolling up rollies and just smoking cigarettes on your external journeys. Your internal journeys, you'll knock out for 15 hours and have like the most in-tune psychedelic dream. It's not a dream.
Okay,
though.
So you can't sleep on this.
It's not sleep.
Yeah.
It's an internal journey. And you're very, it's like jumping into your head, but being awake. I can't describe it.
Like the magic school bus.
Yeah. Like literally, like imagine being able to go to sleep tonight and wake up in your dream and be like, wait, I'm dreaming. Wait, okay, now let me have fun with this. I can control every single part of this.
Well, as we've talked about on this podcast, I had a NyQuil dream that I went down on Katy Perry, and that is absolutely amazing. That did not last long enough, and yet it was the most real. Again, NyQuil, if you're listening, that commercial will not only, you know, hip up your demographic, but it will make people go, oh, cool, maybe this won't just knock me. Point is, I felt very locked into that dream. And I don't know, I can't imagine being more locked in than I was in that moment.
A little secret, if you can look at your hands in your dream, you can control them.
Your hands?
Okay. If you can, I've done it twice, once or twice. And that's what they say. There's actual dream doctors that say if you can physically look at your hands in your dream or somehow find a way to look at your hands, there's a physical connection with your brain and your dreaming and the pineal gland where you can actually go into your dream. Have you ever had those dreams where you know you're dreaming?
Yeah.
And you can control it. Have you ever had that?
That's what the Katy Perry dream was. Okay,
exactly. So imagine being able to do that every single night of your life.
I want that.
That's then go do ayahuasca and you can control that. You learn it. It teaches you. It shows you how to control your body and your mind and your spirit.
Now,
and then when you come back to normal society, you will then realize how insane everybody is.
Well, I mean, that's just watch Fox News, go to Hollywood Boulevard.
And it's hard. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's been harder for me to deal with society and life after the ayahuasca journey because I see so through the fake bullshit.
Of course.
It's even more. It's disgusting. It's like watching the worst sitcom on TV, like with the worst acting in the world. And that's like half the people out there.
Can't you see that, though, and recognize that without going through the trip?
Like, no, you can.
Yeah.
And you do on a daily basis.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
That's sad, but you really see it and you feel it.
So what are the pro? I mean, okay, so if
it's
you were
life.
Pitching if, this, like, I mean, yeah.
Okay, if you want to heal and you want to be set free of your mind and unplugged of any kind of programming or any kind of manipulation that anyone other than yourself has brought upon you,
yeah.
Then go do ayahuasca. If you want a spiritual, if you want an awakening within yourself. Now, ayahuasca is not for everybody. I'm not telling every single human on this earth to go out and go do it. It's for you if you think it's for you.
Do you have to be at a crossroads or have some sort of traumatic event to
You'll know. You'll say, you know what? I think I'm ready. You'll hear these stories and be like, you know what? That'll start resonating with you. You'll start being like, there'll be a part of you inside you that'll say, yeah, you know, I kind of want it. And if you guys want to go look at it, check out Heart of Initiate.
Well, there are some is that?
Heart of Initiate is the organization over here that you can go to heartofinitiate.com. Look it up. It's Peter and... the gentleman, I can't remember his other name. They run the whole
Caterpillar from Pinocchio.
That guy. And they run the organization. You actually sign up and they'll take you over to Brazil with Baronet and you can actually have the experience and you get to stay in their compound for 1 week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks and have the whole experience. It's beautiful. They feed you, house you, and you get to have the journeys and have an internal experience.
Now, you mentioned, I mean, there are times when I want to get away. I mean, Brad and I went to Cabo when we both wanted to get away because we were like, we've both been on the road for a while. We need to remove ourselves from civilization. And we did. We had no phone access for 5 days.
Oh, nice.
We were at a resort.
That's
we great. Stayed at the pool the whole time.
Nice.
We swam. We drank. I went to Napa to do the same thing. But, like,
this sounds like another level of that.
This sounds like also, I mean,
we didn't come back from – we came back from Cabo like, all right, well, I'm relaxed.
Brad lost a limbo competition. That was, like, his journey.
Yeah. So
having to deal with the fact that he let his people down.
Yeah. This sounds like I would
– Would you guys want to go to Brazil with me? If I brought you guys to Brazil for an ayahuasca journey?
Oh, God. I don't know.
I'm offering you right now because I can't. We can go back with Heart of Initiate in about 7 or 8 months. We'll set a date and we'll go do that.
If you said 7 or 8 hours, I was going to walk in and have to decline or, you know, make a really bold move.
I invite you to the journey. I am going back later on this year.
You are.
I do plan on reconnecting.
Now, okay, but you would have to understand with some of the things that you've said in terms of healing everything, in terms of making you feel and look young, living to 110, that many people listening to this podcast are going to hear that and be like, well, that dude did way too many drugs. And
pretty much.
And this is BS.
Right.
Like, so what do you say to people that just say, like, dude, that's impossible. That cannot, these things cannot have happened.
Well, why? Show me an argument how they can't have happened, and then, you know, I'll agree with you, but there's no... Mm-hmm. The reason the human body lives longer is because it's cleaner and purer, bottom line.
Okay.
There's been, you know, documented in humans and, you know, there's guys in China and Japan right now, they're in like their 120s and they're still living long and strong. So to say that they can't live to be 100, 105, 110,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it cleanses the body. It's pure. But I, like I said, I can't go out and tell anybody to go, you know, do this journey.
Right. And it sounds like there's you have to be of a certain mindset before you even get into this. Whereas if you go into it with the wrong mindset, or like you can't be doing this just like I want to party.
No, that's the worst mentality you can do going
oh,
into.
Oh no!
Okay. And actually, the shamans will know that. They'll know,
feel your energy.
No, they'll know. I guess when my mom went, she said there were two women that went for satanic purposes to try to connect on an evil level, because you can connect on any level in the world. You're open.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a choose your own adventure life.
And she said on her first journey, when she looked at them during one of her trips, she looked over at them and they are both in like black cloaks with these red eyes. Like that's the transformation they took on during her journey. And she said they were like the most evilest things. And Barney actually kicked them out right after that journey and made them leave the compound. And he escorted them out after their journey because they were there.
And that's not for anything that they specifically did, just because you could see, like, wow, they're not going to be here for the right reason.
Well, the black cloaks, first of all, you're going against the color coordination.
It's literally a black energy. Like, it's a dark black. Like, when you're on this ayahuasca, like, things are there. It's open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your accent.
Do they provide visuals? Like, the trees are breathing, but do they set up, like.
Here's a perfect example. The drink you're drinking is not making you trip.
Mm-hmm.
It is just allowing the pineal gland to open up. That's all it's doing, is opening the door. What's coming into your body, what you're seeing, has already been there. It's been there the whole damn time. Mm-hmm. That's your natural. It's your natural body being released within your body. It's your
why don't we access it?
You access it kind of when you dream.
Yeah,
and when you die, and when you're born. Those are the only three times your body accesses it. But go do ayahuasca, and you will access it, and you will be able to see what you know.
Do they set it like, because when I did shrooms for the second time, I talked to a bag of gummy worms, and I'm dead serious.
No, I'm sure you did. I've talked to walls and all kinds of things.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But
that wasn't the gummy worm. You're actually having a conversation with your subconscious that you weren't really aware of at that time, but it allowed the
psilocybin. Well, I don't know, because one of the gummy worms told me that I should pursue stand-up, and that.
Okay, that was your subconscious telling you that your actual... See, you already knew who you are as a person inside, but your
deflecting.
Fear was holding you back, and you were deflecting it.
And so I needed to hear it through the gummy worm.
But it was... Yeah, whichever way the universe chose to teach you that lesson...
Holy
shit.
It
took you to do the psilocybin and then talk to that bag of gummy... I've had walls tell me things.
Like what?
But it wasn't... No, like just different things about me as a human and as a person, but it wasn't the wall. It was me just opening that part of my brain that... kind of took that fear away of judging myself and putting my ego and my pride and everything else aside that society gives you, and it's the truth. It's dead honest truth. That's what ayahuasca is. It's truth.
So when you get back from this, you get back from this trip, right? You come back. Are you...
You're in a shock and awe. You're in euphoria.
I was going to say, you're having to readjust. This happens like, I mean, talk about jet lag.
Oh, you're talking about when I got back to the United States?
Yes.
Yeah. I locked myself in my house for like 6 days. I could not deal with society. And I'm not saying like, oh, everyone's going to fear. That was just me. That was what I had because I had such an intense journey. And I stayed the whole time. You could only go for two journeys or three journeys. I did nine. I was like day on, day off, day on, day off, day on, day off. And that's what you drink for a full day. Then you have the day to reflect. Then the next day you drink for the full day. Then you have the day to reflect. Then the next day you drink. And you just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it's a and you learn more and more and more and more and more about you.
Do they tell you, is there a limit to how many journeys you can take?
No, there's the guys like Peter and them, they've done thousands of journeys.
Well, that's
like,
why they look so good.
Over the years.
Wow.
If you're 105 and you look 40, how many?
I mean, Barney, you can go on the website and look at him. He's.
That's unbelievable. So you're locked in for 6 days. Is there a point when you're like, I'm not going back out?
No, I just had to slowly readjust myself.
Yeah.
I'd go to the store and come back. I'd do this. But it was literally like being in the jungle for 2.5-3 weeks of your life in the middle of nowhere and then being stripped from the jungle off of the planet Earth and kind of into this spiritual psychedelic realm. It's like...
It's like when Britney Spears shaved her head and then went in public. She had to fucking go back into recluse for a minute and reevaluate and be like, who am I really?
Yeah.
Now, is it frustrating to talk to people like me who haven't done this?
And, not at all.
No. Okay.
It's exciting.
I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. And then now, is it...
Not everybody's going to be a believer. Not everybody's going to want it. Not, you know, everybody's a human being.
Yeah, and you understand that some people will hear this and make the choice that this is not true for whatever reason, or this is just not how it is. And
by all means, I invite them to feel or believe whatever they want. You know, there's no judgment.
Do you feel bad for them that they're not at least open, like, to even listen to it?
No, by all means, not. I don't feel bad, nor good, nor this, nor that. You know, to break it down, I just love life. I'm literally a true just lover of loving life, and I don't judge humans based off of anything other than their core spirit and who they are as an actual real human being.
Yeah.
I don't look at your job, your money, your title, what you drive, what you wear, who you are, who you're with. I look at you as a person in your heart, and then I'll judge you based off of that.
And which Ninja Turtle is your favorite?
Fucking A, dude. which Ninja Turtle?
Yeah, which is your favorite? This actually, I have a joke in my act where it says a lot about who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Really?
I say, if Leonardo's your favorite, you were the born leader in your group of friends, that's okay? Funny. You speak up, you make the plans when plans aren't being decided on. Donatello, you're kind of the brainiac in the group. Raphael, you're a little bit of an attitude problem. Chances are you're going to be involved in a domestic abuse case in your 50s. Michelangelo, the party animal, all right? That guy liked to take things up a notch. If he was your favorite, chances are at some point you're going to drink a bottle of Jaeger and take a shit off the neighbor's roof.
I'd be Leonardo.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I mean, hell, it sounds right now that you're trying to lead our listeners down their own journey.
Yeah, you know, and I, you know, I'm...
Well, you say you love... go ahead.
Yeah, I love life.
You love life, and I want to segue into the story that you told me about the cancer.
Oh, yeah. The very large 4-inch, you know, softball in the back of my neck.
A tumor.
Yeah.
You had a 4-inch... You told me this at Calvin. You had a 4-inch tumor in the back of your neck.
Yes. It was non-cancerous, but if they went in surgically or cut it, they said either you can die or you're going to be paralyzed. Those were my two options.
And when did this happen?
This happened 2010, I want to say.
This is after your ayahuasca trip.
This was after my ayahuasca journey. What had happened was my liver had reversed into my body and started dumping all my toxins up into my brain, and my body created a natural tumor sac. I know this is going to get pretty descriptive.
No, this is awesome.
To grab all the toxins, and I ended up having a softball size tumor on the back of my neck that cocked my whole head into the left side of my shoulder.
And when this starts happening, do you know that it's happening because there's a big, a lump in the back of your neck?
Well,
or are you starting to get headaches?
I've always had a little cyst, as you would say, on the back of my neck. And I'm not kidding you. It literally went from one night to kind of being sore till I woke up in the morning to this ball. And it was probably a little bit bigger than a golf ball at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit smaller than a golf ball. And it really hurt. And I called my mom. I was like, oh, my God. And the thing just started growing, and I mean growing by the hour. I mean, I could feel my neck getting tighter and tighter and tighter.
Now, shit. Does a guy like you go to a hospital, or do you go to a guy that put crystals on your head? Like,
you know, it's kind of funny you say that. Yeah. I'm not the kind of guy to walk into a hospital. I've been to the hospital once in my life, and that was for them to diagnose me with bilateral pneumonia, told me I pretty much may not live through it, and my mother brought me home and nursed me back to health with natural holistic herbs flown in from Thailand and China and stuff like that. So I've always been into the natural holistics my whole entire life. And do not believe in Western medicine or doctors.
Well, obviously, when they give you those two options, you're going to be like, fuck that. Let me find a third route.
Yeah. I mean, now don't get me wrong. Western medicine has helped people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not knocking it.
Yeah.
Just not for me. Okay. But, you know, I chose the natural path, and I started doing Jore, which is a natural light therapy. A lot of people think it's bullshit, but it worked for me. You know, it's the healing through light.
So do you just go in like a tanning bed?
No. You actually you go to these people's houses, and they're actually trained in it. And you sit down, and you sit down for about 35 minutes to an hour, and they hold their hands. Literally, you close your eyes, and they hold their hands about 6 inches to 8 inches above you. And don't ask me why, but it literally feels like they have a blow dryer on the back of your neck because there's so much heat resonating from these people's hands. And that's the white light, they say. They do this visualization where they're sending white light to certain parts of your body and healing. And it got to the point where I got in so much pain. I was telling my mom, all right, I'm just ready to cut this thing out. Like, I tried to go in the bathroom and stab it with a pen, and like, it got so bad. I started going a little loony bins, because this was like 3.5-4 weeks into me not being able to drive now. Like, people were staring at me when I was going in public.
How's that?
Like, I got it. You know, I instantly, it's not that I would ever in a million years judge anybody, but you don't know that feeling until you've been there, you know, of people staring at you. And it's like everywhere I'd look, like I'd walk into restaurants and people would like push their plates away because I'd have this massive like, and it was.
Oh my God,
it looked gnarly. It was black and blue and my skin was stretched. And
so you got it, but also you're looking at people in a new light, right? You're like, Jesus Christ. Like, you're like, wow. Dude, like you don't even know what I'm dealing with. And you're just like, I can't even finish this tartare.
Pretty much.
Because of his, oh really? You might
disgusting.
Die? Oh, God. Well, I didn't
disgusting.
Finish my ravioli.
Yeah,
I might die of starvation tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. That was a whole learning lesson within itself. And it got to the point where, you know, I walked in. I was like, all right, schedule the appointment. Let's just try to cut it open. Like they said, they might be.
You got to a point you were willing to just take a risk on your life because the pain and the overwhelming feeling of just
I couldn't do anything. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't shower. I had to set up a stool in the shower so I could sit down in the shower and let the hot water run on it because that was the only thing that like took away the pain.
So, oh my God, dude!
And so then where do you go?
So
I did go to the
doctor one time to have it looked at,
mm-hmm.
and they took this, and this is when they told me it was pushing against my spinal cord and it was near my brain and all this you know fun stuff and. There had just been a case like a week previous to a kid who had the same thing as me and ended up got paralyzed from the neck down because of it. And like, it scared the holy shit out of me. And they're like, well, it's either going to do one or two things. It might drain back into your body or it might just stay like that permanently for the rest of your life.
Fun.
I'm like, so you're telling me that I could have this thing for the, they're like, yeah.
And then did they offer
and if we cut it out, it might grow back right away.
Yeah.
Like,
and do they offer any treatment options or just?
I started taking liver detox because mm-hmm. that's when they found out the liver. So I was taking different detoxes and I was on a strict, I couldn't smoke weed. I couldn't, like, because they said the actual carcinogen of the smoke, because I love smoking blunts and stuff like that,
yeah.
but I could vape. So I found ways around that. You know, I ate my edibles and stuff like that because it's still good for the body. So
yeah.
They just didn't want any smoke, any unnatural thing to go in my body. I had to do only water and stuff like this. But it's when I went to the Joe Ray. It's when I went and sat down with that lady, and she put her hands over me and started doing what she did. And 45 minutes later, it started itching like hell. I mean, really bad. And I started feeling this weird, like, itchy, like, right on one point. And I started feeling a little wet. And she goes, oh, look, it's starting to leak, like, all normal. And I'm like, what do you mean it's starting to leak? Like, what? And I, like, she got a napkin and dabbed it and showed me, and it was like, pussy weird shit on. I was like, oh my God. She goes, okay, I want you to go home right now and just go get in the shower and just relax. So I go home, I get in the shower, and I'm letting the hot water, and I'm just reaching behind me, and I'm just kind of like patting it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I feel more goo, and I'm like, what? No way. And I pushed even more, and it hurt, but it felt good a little bit. And I went, no fucking way. Jump out of the shower butt naked. Look in the mirror, grab another mirror, and I'm looking at it, and I'm squeezing it. And this is in my whole entire hand, right? And I'm squeezing it.
It's still as big as a softball.
Yeah, I'm squeezing it with my whole hand. I mean, I'm getting a grip on it, like you're pumping a tennis ball.
Jesus.
Like, imagine pumping it. And I see this little thing pop out this little hole and go back in. I was like, what the fuck is that thing?
What
so
is
I
that?
I squeeze harder, and it went out a little more. And I'm like, what? And I was like, fuck it. And I squeezed, and it was like a cork, dude. It went and popped out, and this blood and brown and black shit just started running out of my body, and I milked it for like 5.5 minutes straight.
Because it felt amazing?
Oh my God, it was like popping the best pimple of your life. I mean, I'm crying, like
every
laughing,
eighth grader
crying.
In the world can relate to
I'm
that.
I'm crying, yeah. laughing, like, oh, this is fucking amazing. And my buddy's in there filming. He's like, dude,
what?
You know, I got my
There's
towel
film
on this
of this?
Time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And oh, I've got the film.
It's can we
pretty,
see it?
Not on this. Yeah, I'll bring it in.
Oh, man, is it fucked up that I want
to
see that?
No, everybody wants to see it. It's literally the gnarliest fucking thing. And it's squirting out like 3 feet out of my neck. I mean, I'm milking. It's.
And because at this point, you're getting some. You know what's happening. You're like, I'm
pressure.
Getting.
There is literally. I can feel pressure in my mm-hmm. neck coming back. And after I went like this, and it felt flat again. I went, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And there's blood. I mean, blood. I literally looked like a fucking murder scene. And it was the nastiest smelling shit you've ever had smelled in your life. You know,
yeah, well, blood's not good. That's why there's blood Pinot Grigio.
It was the toxins in my body that were dumping out, too. It wasn't just the blood. So all the black and brown shit that's running down my back. So I hop in the shower and I turn my neck, and it was the best neck adjustment of my life. It was like, and I was like,
holy fucking shit.
I was like the happiest man in the world. I jumped out of the shower, rolled myself a fat ass blunt. Hey, mom, I popped it. She's like, what? What do you mean you popped it? She was screaming, really happy. It was fucking amazing. And, you know, I just got a fucking gnarly ass scar now.
So I
healed it through. Yeah, I know. It's kind of.
I mean, you had no, like, you didn't. Were you concerned about any sort of, like, all right, did I pop something? Did something like, did I, some of the goo slide back down and grow another cancer plant?
It just felt normal. I could tell my body was telling me it's going to be okay. It was like.
Did you call the lighting people and go, yo, like.
No, I called them right away and they said, we know. Like, this is normal. The healing for them is normal. They see this stuff on a daily basis. Just people and. America in general are just so blinded by belief of only Western medicine works.
I was going to say, dude, how many cases do you think could have been solved out there of people like in your situation that just didn't know about seeing a lighting guider or...
It's not just that. It's the holistic things in this world that...
There's a lot of bloody shower scenes that could have gone down and saved people's lives that just didn't even get that.
Yes, it hurts. And that's another thing with the marijuana and the Eastern medicine, and that's why they're keeping it back. Because... The pharmaceutical companies want theirs. Everybody wants a piece of theirs. Nobody wants the natural way. Nobody believes. What do you mean? You mean I can go to a lady who I paid $25 to, who I went to two major surgeons at UCLA and other people, and they said, you're going to die from this and be paralyzed this, but yet I go to a cute little lady over in Sepulveda Boulevard for $25. $25. And she did sessions on me and healed me.
What the fuck?
Now you tell me. They're not in it.
Well,
for
we're
the
Trojans,
money.
So we would have told you right off the bat,
yeah,
don't go to UCLA.
Yeah, don't go to UCLA.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Trojan,
exactly.
Holy fucking shit. So, all right. So, segueing this into Bloom Farms, I mean, so after that, too, healing, weed, holistic, everything is just now so prominent in your life.
Yes, very. And that's what Bloom Farms is we're a company that is trying to show the world that smoking marijuana is not a bad thing. You know, your businessman, your lawyer, your nurse, your mother, your father, your everybody, everyday human being can go home at night and have a puff and not feel bad about it. You know, that's why our pens look the way they do.
They're dope. They're the coolest looking pens.
We want you to feel like it's an elegant way of smoking. It's like you either go home... You go home at night, you have a glass of wine, or do you have a sip off your Bloom Farms highlighter pen? You know, it's your choice.
Both. Yeah, so you want to take the stigma out of just like the sort of Cheech and Chong, like,
hey,
man.
Like we're all stoners. Like, we don't take part in any high times events. We don't take part in any of the stoner dabbing events because that's not our mentality in life. We're actually a true one-for-one company. Every single pen set and refill case that I give away, like, to you guys, I give away to you guys. We give a free meal out. To a family in need. We are a true one-for-one company.
Like Tom's Shoes.
Yes, we are. We've been in the papers, and we're working with Marin County Food Bank up north, and we're working with some other people, some no-kill shelters down here, No-Kill LA, and a few other places. And, you know, we're really trying to show that, you know... And
I just got a faulty table and a bad hooker from Craigslist. Holy God.
Wait. So Bloom Farms, so you saw the ad, these guys. This company already existed.
It wasn't even the... it didn't even say the company's name on it when I eventually...
And they said, do you like pot? Do you...
Yeah, like, do you like cannabis lifestyle? Like, you know, are you interested in working in the cannabis industry?
You sent them your bio and said, yeah, this has actually been a big part of who I am.
Yeah, and it's not that I've wanted to work in the industry. This is me, and I'd love to be a part of this because this is what I've always wanted to show the world. I've always wanted the world to feel the same way I'm feeling, and this company is literally me. If I were to create a company from the ground up, it would be Bloom Farms.
Yeah, because you.
Is what I'm saying.
Because you're wanting. For some people that say, like, well, of course, because you just want to get high. But I would say, no, you're not doing this to get high. You were getting high without them.
Exactly.
You were still getting weed without them.
Yeah.
So that part's relevant. You wanted to be with them because you enjoy the company, you trust the company, you like their message.
Yes. And I mean, they have Emerson written on the back.
Yeah. And you want to come help people.
So you said with every refillable cartridge that is sold, you guys give a free meal?
Yes, not only just sold, given. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
What?
Yeah.
And who do you give the meals to again?
Well, Marin County Food Bank up north, and we're in the process of now opening. Our goal is to give away 1 million meals this year.
Jesus, dude.
There you go. So even if you're not into weed, I'm sure you're into you're feeding people.
Yeah.
And you have friends that are into weed. Yeah. So there you go.
So you would say, because again, like we were saying, the stigma of just pot of being like dazed and confused, like, what's up, man? Fucking Scooby-Doo till I die, which I've said sober. But but like, this is just a, like you said, like the business guy who, like, it's making weed cooler or just like more acceptable?
No, it's making it more acceptable to society because it is acceptable. It's nothing bad. I mean, believe it or not, the people that mostly get our pens are your local business doctors.
I was
going to
say, what's your biggest demo? Yeah.
Calms them down.
Oh, teachers, lawyers, doctors, you know, mostly 30 and up working individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying young kids don't go off and don't go buy a Bloom Farms pen. But if you notice, we're not selling pens with 90% THC to try to rip your fucking head off.
Mm-hmm.
All of our pens are between 50 to 68 to 70. That's the highest one we've done. But it's because we found that is the perfect level for the user.
I was going
to
say,
it's not going to get you too high.
I was going to say, and I can attest to this, these pens are the shit. And A, like we said, they look dope. You pull off the top, you're undressing this pen. It's like, what'd you tell me? It was like an iPhone, opening an iPhone.
It's like opening an iPhone.
Yeah, dude. You pull off the top. It's so easy. The pen's just sitting there waiting, like sleeping, being like, wake me up. And like the right amount, like, dude, the... Like hitting it throughout the day. When I've been on the road, like some days, I'm like, you know, when I was in Minnesota, I was like, I'm gonna go to the Mall of America. Took the pen with me.
There you go.
Went to the mall, hit it like a reasonable amount, like 4 or 5 times throughout the hour, right? And was just had a nice buzz going. Wasn't fucked up. Didn't try to rob an Orange Julius. Didn't try to climb the roller coaster. You know, I just was chilling. I was like, maybe I'll see a movie. Maybe I'll watch these people get in a fight outside of a fountain for another 25 minutes. I was very in charge. You know what I'm saying?
And that's our mission, is to make you in charge of yourself.
All right. Well, I mean, well,
it's to help you, allow you to be more in charge of yourself, you know, and be able to medicate wherever you want. You know, if you're a mom and, you know, if you're around people who are non-smokers or who get offended by the smell or the stench, or if you don't want to carry a huge sack of weed and a pipe and a lighter around, these
you
want to
get arrested? Yeah.
And not only that, it's a stylist. I mean, come on. You could be on your iPhone and your iPad, and you could be, you know, ripping away and puffing at the same time.
Have you seen – who would you want
to – Actually, people do that all the time with these.
Do you see them out in public?
Oh yeah.
That's
the
shit. And
it's very simple. It's discreet. It's not going to stink up Starbucks or any other place. Like, I go to the movies, and these things rock. Because usually I like to smoke a fatty before a movie. Who doesn't?
Yeah,
who
sure.
doesn't like to go
Come
see
on,
a great
dude.
Movie? Star Wars, any of these. You're going to get ripped before Star Wars 3D. How about not getting ripped the whole time with one of these?
How about remembering the movie? How about not going to see X-Men United and only remembering how many Sour Patch Kids you ate because you're so fucking baked?
This will keep you at a nice, clean, fun high the whole entire time and not have that down crash.
Is there somebody – do you know of any famous people that have gotten your pens? I mean, you probably – or. Do you need somebody like that? Like I was saying, like, do you need like an Obama or a Michael Jordan?
We do need it. And you know, the casting call is out. You know, anybody who feels or thinks they would be a good face to Bloom Farms, please, by all means, let us know.
The website is www.getbloomfarms.com.
That is correct. Or bloom_farms at Instagram.
Because if you're not like Brad or I, who have the dope hookup, like, how do you go? How do you go get – there's a website just straight up where you
– that website will kind of allow you to find dispensaries where Bloom Farms products are, but we are located in many, 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 if not almost all the pre-ICO Prop D dispensaries in the greater Los Angeles,
awesome.
San Diego, Orange County, delivery services. We're pretty much everywhere in Los Angeles County now.
Because we're not telling people to break the law if it's not legal in your state.
No, we're not saying that. No, not at all.
Okay.
The Bloom Farms is a California cannabis company.
Okay.
You know, we're not telling you to go, you know, go off and sell this stuff in other states and stuff like that. By all means, no way, no how. You know, and that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are huge about the legalities and doing it the right way and not putting that bad name on cannabis,
right,
and that thuggetry or whatever you want to call it.
Because you know that the people that want to keep weed not legal, they like to show the worst parts of weed. They're looking for somebody to do that one.
They're looking for that one guy to slip up. You know, they want
someone to like get high and then kill their kids and then blame it on the weed.
Yeah, that ain't happening. But
I mean, well, not to sound like a commercial, but I just ripped into my newest Bloom Farms all natural CO2 cannabis oil pen.
Yeah. And, well, is cannabis oil illegal? The oil?
Now, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Now, only if it's CO2 extracted. Now, BHO, extracted oil, is what all these kids, like, they just found that, you know, the honey extraction facility.
Yeah.
I can't remember where that was. They just found it about a few days ago. The guys had their whole entire house converted.
I think it was in Winnie the Pooh's cave.
Yeah. I think that's where it was. And they had thousands of cans.
Which sounds like a great, if you're a drug dealer and you're going to name your, like,
that
you know,
would be actually
your
great.
Den or your dispensary.
The honey.
Yeah. Pooh's Corner.
So, yeah.
Where are you going? 100 acre wood, man. 100 acre wood.
I might not come back.
I'm taking that. 100 acre woods.
Or that's some like really bad gay porn you're walking into. What flavor is this?
That is the Skywalker. That is Skywalker OG.
Well, Brad, I feel like you should be sucking on this.
I brought you Girl Scout cookies, Mango Kush, and Pineapple Kush as well.
Okay, is there Oreo Cookie Blizzard in there?
Yeah. Just combine them all.
I got the mango. So
how do you even?
I'll be trying that.
How do you even get these flavors in there?
These are actually, we don't flavor any of our stuff. These are actually natural strains. These are called strain specifics or single origins. The Mango Kush is from Garberville, California. It is the actual Mango Kush strain. And the way we extract our products is it's extracted through pressure. It's a subcritical extraction process and a supercritical extraction process. Pretty much we use lots and lots and lots of pressure, for layman's terms, to squeeze all the yumminess, all the honey, right out of that nug and put it into this little tank. It gets way more complicated than that, but
sure
in layman terms,
yeah,
we're using pressure to extract. We're not using a BHO or a solvent. We're using a natural, so therefore it's not a processing. You're just taking out what's already there. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like it's like an essential oil. It's the same way they make essential oils.
Did you, just being an intelligent human being on this earth, do you absorb and learn shit easier than others, would you say? Or did you already, like, what you just spoke about, you were very articulate about, and I'm curious, like, did somebody explain that to you and you took it in once, or do you discover things on your own because you're just a curious and focused person now?
It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of just my own curiosity and just being around the right people and asking all the questions and just literally indulging myself into this industry.
You ask a lot of questions, yeah?
Yeah.
It's imperative of any business, would you say?
I believe in every single part of life.
Why would you not want to know as much as you can?
Ask as many questions as you can until people say shut up. That's my motto.
Why would you want to be the smartest person? Yeah.
Seriously, why not?
Yeah.
Why not just keep asking? Just keep finding, keep there. If you think you can obtain all the knowledge in the universe, you're a freaking idiot. I mean, it's so huge. It is so gargantuanly massive. So why not keep asking the damn questions? You can't ask enough questions.
I got so many questions for you, which is why we're going to have to do another podcast at some point.
Yeah, I would love to. Part two.
But we got just about 3 or 4 more minutes.
Part two.
But I want to know, like, what pumps you? After coming out of an ayahuasca trip, or would you even say trip? Journey.
Journey, right? Okay. It's not a trip.
I was going to say, like, is that almost like, is there a fault? Can you offend an ayahuascan for, like, by miss... you know, speaking on there.
No, not really.
Like if somebody's like, sounds so like when you got back from your fucking vacay, are you like, hey, dude, you don't even know. I talked to a tree, motherfucker. Did you do that at Disneyland? Well, maybe you did because Disneyland is a magical place.
Yeah,
they have talking trees. Bad example.
Yeah, right.
All
right,
when you went to TGI Fridays, did you talk to the fucking clam chowder?
No. Or did you talk to the bartender about college basketball for 4 hours?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
That's bad.
So, like, what pumps you about... the world, man. Like right now, like what? Now that you've integrated yourself back into society, very well, and you have a business, and you're fucking dude, you're fun to be around. You're like, you're upbeat. You got dope tattoos.
Appreciate it, brother.
What about Maddie on a daily basis? Are you just like pumped about?
To tell you the truth, every single morning or day when people ask me how I'm doing, it's the same single answer that will be for the rest of my life, and that's I woke up this morning. That's it. I'm happy. I'm pumped to be alive.
All right.
That is my motivation in life. I love fucking living. I bite into a burger, I close my eyes, and I take in every fucking second of that bite because I'm enjoying that taste, that flavor. When I'm watching a movie, I'm soaking in every color, every single sound. When I'm driving down the road, I'm taking in the birds, the bees, the sound of my car, the engine, the air in my hair. I'm living. That's what makes me pumped about life. That's what ayahuasca taught me, is to enjoy the little things in life, because guess what? In two fucking seconds, you can be gone.
Yeah, and you literally. Almost were, man. I mean, yeah. Like that.
No,
that-
literally. And it can come so quick and so fast that you will just...
Dude, a lightning bolt could come through this window. We could get hit by a bus.
I could walk out this door and fall off the balcony and break my neck, yada, yada, whatever.
I could sleepwalk into my apartment complex pool in the middle of the night and still think I'm
exactly.
going down on Katy Perry and start just like trying to breathe underwater.
And then you're fucked. But so, no, but then ask yourself, really, like ask yourself one question. If I were to die tomorrow, would I be really, really happy with what I'm doing right in this very moment and second? And that's the question you have to ask yourself.
Well, I can answer that. Mm-hmm. I'm hitting a Skywalker pen at fucking Bloom Farms.
You're damn right.
So I'm pumped.
Yeah. So you heard it here first. Enjoy and appreciate the little things, which I heard as go out and fuck a dwarf.
Oh, good night, everybody.
Ring the bell.
Maddie, you're coming back for part two.
Part two is
that was amazing.
Locked in.
That was amazing. Awesome. You're coming back.
Awesome.
Rock I love you.
Show. That's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy.
This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.